You're listening to WKXL in the Mornings. I'm your host, AJ Kierstead. It's time for the New Hampshire Business Update with Jeff Feingold. He's the editor of the New Hampshire Business Review. You can check out more from them at nhbr.com. So in this first edition of our bi-weekly series that I'm very excited to kick off with you, Jeff, let's start off with what is the Business Review? It's much more than just, like, we are Bloomberg here, and so it's just the markets. And Business Review is a lot more all-encompassing.
Yes, it is actually, you know, we've been around since the late 70s, so it's well over 40 years. We come out every other week. It's a newspaper. We also have a digital edition and a very active website. We put stuff up there every business day. No Saturdays or Sundays. we do our best to cover the business community of New Hampshire. I mean, I have my original background was in community newspapers. And we kind of take that same approach. I mean, this is the community, and we treat it as it's a lot of people, and they're all over the state, but they have common interests, and we look for those common interests and give the information that we think many business people will need. We cover a lot of specific industries, of course, because there's a lot of concentration. You know, tech industry, tourism, hospitality, construction, real estate. You know,
when you talk business on a local level and down to the state level, it's all encompassing. I mean, most people work, they've got a job, there's impacts that the government and in the state and federal, as well as just the local jurisdictions where your day-to-day life is impacted.
Yes, I mean, that's pretty much how I look at it, is that, you know, I always think about pretty much all news can be a business story. And I'll give you a good example. In our most recent issue that just came out today, it's online. We got a story, a very, very good story about extreme heat, which is obviously very timely, even on especially this past summer. But it's about more how poor neighborhoods throughout New Hampshire are suffering more from the consequences of extreme heat. That could be a higher death rate, health issues, all kinds of very significant effects. And it's present in a place like Manchester and Nashua and all the cities, but even in many towns. And what it is that it turns out that one of the major things is, I don't know if you've ever been to Manchester or to Nashua, you know, there's sections where a lot of the housing is less quality. And that's where a lot of people who are low income live. And if you notice, in those areas, there are very few trees, so there's no shade. But if you go into places like the wealthier areas in Manchester, I'm familiar with, like the North End here, filled with trees, it's a beautiful, beautiful area. And it's things like that, and then there's a whole thing where there's more pavement, there's more lots, you know, where there's, you know, a pavement there that doesn't, it just reflects the heat and brings it back up. It's a really interesting story because it has impacts on people, a significant number of people in New Hampshire. It also has impacts on those people are also working in businesses, working and have employers. So if they have health issues, that affects employers. If they have, you know, if they have other kinds of issues, if their family has health issues. So it's something that I thought that business people would want to know about, that this is an issue that, you know, it's a big deal in a lot of major cities, but this is not something that's come up for New Hampshire. And we have a really great job by the Grand State News Collaborative on this. It was very excellent work they've done on it.
And going off of that, I mean, when it comes to winter, you assume everyone's going to be stuck inside. So the tourism industry is very siloed, like the skiers and such all go up there. But when summer hits, all these businesses expect people to be out and about. I mean, I live right downtown Concord. When it's nice out, you cannot drive up and down Main Street.
Exactly.
There's so many people. But if I notice when it's 95, like it is today, you see like half the amount of cars, and those businesses are impacted.
Yeah, see, think about how you act in the heat. But you have, fortunately, probably have access for air conditioning. And a lot of people in these extreme heat areas don't have access to air conditioning, which makes their life even more unbearable. And that has even more effects in terms of sleep and other health issues. And, you know, this is it's something I think that it's an issue, unfortunately, because of where we stay, where we're in climate change, that it's something that we need to be focusing on because it's not better.
And I'd imagine the, like, if we're in an aging state for sure, the elder care side of the house definitely has to impact with, are you able to hear me right now?
Yes.
Okay, it was breaking up, sorry. And continuing off of that, the elder care industry definitely has to be seeing a huge impact with it, because there needs to be more check-ins on the elderly community who can't get out and about. They may not be in an assisted living home where they can be checked on a regular basis, so family members need to leave work, or there's other agencies that need to go out there and check on people, including the police.
Exactly. There's a whole range of people who are connected to this. And I'm sure if you talk to police officers and others in that area of service to people, that they're very familiar with this, that they're familiar with having people suffering from heat stroke on a day like, on Thursday, last Thursday, it was about almost 100 degrees in Manchester. And you know, there were people who were hurt really badly by that.
Yeah, and that's not an issue that's going to be going away anytime soon. Regardless of the cause of the changing climate, this is something that's going on, and it's even worse in other parts of the country. Seattle was nailed earlier in the summer.
That's right. Yeah, my daughter and his wife and my granddaughter live out there, and they had 100 degrees, 111 degrees in a place where no one has air conditioning, because they've never had this before. And then and it's true here in New Hampshire. There's when I first moved up there, no one had air conditioning where I grew up. We lived in the Lake Sunapee area in New London. We didn't get air conditioning for maybe 15 years. We didn't need it.
You have a dehumidifier to cut the water leaking everywhere. And I live in the city, so I got an AC like 6 inches from my computer right now, because otherwise I'd be cooked.
Exactly. But if you can't afford it, you don't have access to it. It's your life is much. I mean, think about how you would be doing your day-to-day activities at home if you didn't have air conditioning in this kind of heat. So that's a lot of people are living that.
In the manufacturing industry, you talk about your Amazons and such, that's got a huge impact on the volume that warehouse is able to do. I mean, there is still some manufacturing in New England, and
these
temperatures increase, it's going to be more and more of an impact in what money they're going to have to either put in to offer a certain level of air conditioning, or just not being able to operate certain times of the summer.
Well, a lot of manufacturers in New Hampshire now do, more up-to-date kind of manufacturing facilities where they do have, very sophisticated air conditioning systems, air purifiers and things like that. But, I live in Manchester now. I live in one of the old mills in the Manchester Mill Yard. And my office is a couple of mills away in the mill yard. And I'll tell you, especially in my office, when the air conditioning is not on, I can't wonder, there were thousands of people in these buildings working in the 19th century, early 20th century, when there was not even air conditioning was even invented. I can't even imagine how it must have been just horrible with those machines going, and must have been terrible. You think about it, it's, things have changed a lot, but it's some people are still being left behind, even though we've made obviously great progress on this.
Are there any business predictions on the next decade? There might be some migration of anything when it comes to this, or more businesses trying to take advantage of it?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, one of the things that I've read is that there'll be some businesses moving from different parts of the country to maybe more cooler places. I mean, we do have a lot more remote working and stuff, but there'll be other businesses that'll be following the cooler weather, just like there'll be businesses following the warmer weather. But I think at some point it's going to be unbearably hot in some places. But that's going to be interesting. The other thing is that I'm really curious what the ski industry is going to be doing as this happens. I mean, this is a significant industry in this state, and they're trying their best to be four-season resorts, and many of them are very successful at it. But what is going to happen with skiing is, fine, if it doesn't snow, and as long as it's below, I think, 29 degrees, you can make snow. What happens when it's not cool? We've gone through winters where it's been very warm and ski season's been terrible. And if it's going to get worse, what are their backup plans? What are their concerns?
And there's that expectation of tourism. They can't necessarily pivot during the winter to something else, because people only want to go there to ski, because it's not quite warm enough to do something else. They expect to go out to the Bahamas or something where it's nice and warm, or warmer. No, maybe that's going to be another issue, but ignoring that fact. But people have the expectation. It's a total rebrand, even if they do come up with something during the
Something's going to have to happen. I do have this thought that, you know, I talked to people about over the years, that one thing that New Hampshire and New England has is water resources for the most part. And if you follow what's going on in the western part of the state and other parts of the world, that's going to be a major, I think it's going to be a major draw at some point for different kinds of businesses that need water, a dependable, reliable source of water. And we do have that in New England. So it, we might get some businesses that we never thought we would have before, you know, in terms of that use maybe intense water usage businesses, manufacturers and whatever. But you know, this is how everything's changing. I think people are coming to realize that things are, it's legit. It's really, things are changing when it comes to the climate.
What else is on top of your mind over at the Business Review this week?
Well, you know, it's interesting because one of the things that I do is I put out weekly newsletters that anybody could sign up for. They're free. One is on real estate construction and one is on tech. And in both of them this week, we had significant stories on what the infrastructure bill that's making its way through Congress, it's in the House right now, the Senate passed it, would it mean to New Hampshire? And that's a really significant shot in the arm for a lot of things. You know, we're talking about this. This is not the budget bill that's the $3.5 trillion. This is the $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, the bipartisan bill that has significant amount of money for New Hampshire for many concerns that we've had for many years in terms of we've had, you know, many roads that have been bridges that have been on the red list for years. We've had roads that have been that have been damaged and need to be repaired, and we just haven't had the resources. And that's a major, obviously, that's our major transportation in the state, for better or worse. It's automobile trucks. But also, there's going to be money that actually is going to happen if this bill passes the House, and it seems like it probably will in some form, to actually provide money for rail, passenger rail, to that specifically would extend the rail from Boston to Concord. And this is something that's been the dream of a lot of people in this in the state, along that corridor. The they call it the Capital Corridor. It'll run the MBTA would run from Boston to Nashua and then go up to Concord, and it could be a game changer. People have talked about how it spurs a lot of development. It spurs a lot of people living near rail stations. We have a little version of it going on in Dover. Dover has the Downeaster station, and there's housing has popped up around there, downtown, yeah, around there, because people live there, so they can go to Boston on the train.
Yeah, the university, it's crazy convenient.
Exactly. So this is, and this is exactly what they're hoping for. It's a long way off, but this is money to do that, to at least study it substantially and start laying the groundwork for passenger rail, is in that bill. And that's a major thing for New Hampshire. And then but by far the biggest change that's going to happen is that there's money in this infrastructure bill that would help build out broadband better. Hmm. And that's a significant investment for the state, especially in the parts of the state where they don't have the access that's required. And in terms of economic development, it's really required nowadays.
And for New Hampshire, I mean, I'd imagine it's going to be especially going to be useful that, because we already have the university doing the Connect, Connect NH was the project they did a few years back, yeah, where there's at least a general infrastructure around the state. I know Maine doesn't have something like that. That's where my whole family's from.
And yeah,
they're really off on their own having to kind of find where there's a connection. New Hampshire at least has the fiber network going. They go all the way up to Littleton, right?
Yeah, the fiber network is there, but it's not. But the problem is what they call the last mile.
Yes, definitely.
So there are places in Littleton that have fiber, but to get it out to people, especially in rural areas, has been really hard. It's been very expensive. So the private internet companies haven't been doing it because it's very expensive. So what you're having is a great initiative on the part of the New Hampshire Electric Co-op. They are doing it in their market area. And that's a significant number of people. And many of the rural areas are in New Hampshire Electric Co-op area. But this is also something that means, like in Southwest New Hampshire, it's very rural, outside of Keene and Peterborough, those places. And also in Western New Hampshire, but specifically the North Country, parts of the Lakes region, Carroll County. And, you know, as we saw from the pandemic, that's the first thing you needed this last year and a half is broadband, you know, for whether it was for telehealth, whether for schools, remote work. So, you know, those people are at a real disadvantage for that. And broadband would help, I think it helped attract businesses or at least attract employees.
Yeah, it's definitely
going to attract employees. They can work remote.
It, yeah. I mean, if I had the, as someone that, that's in new media and radio and such, to have, if I we get fiber downtown Concord and I can get 100 megabit upload speeds, I could be live streaming, uploading video. I mean, there could be new media studios anywhere in the state. And when it comes to people that work with data, I mean, there's plenty of geological agencies in the state, especially. They would love to have that bandwidth.
Absolutely. And I think that that's going to be a real boost when this happens. You know, it's not going to happen overnight, but there are people who are eagerly, they've been talking about improving the internet structure in the state since basically the internet was invented. And this is a significant thing. And, you know, I know that in particular, like Senator Hassan, Senator Shaheen have been really working hard to do this over the years. And, you know, this is why one of the reasons is, you know, you gotta pay attention to what's going on in Washington, because I know there's a lot of money being thrown around and some people are a little nervous about that, but some of these investments are really important for New Hampshire. You know, let's just look at it provincially.
And we were talking about previously about the changing nature due to climate change and the heat waves and such. Adding in new industries of building up these industries is going to be huge. The infrastructure of putting in the railways, putting in all the fiber. I mean, these are multi-year, if not decades-long projects
Good paying jobs too.
Very, very good paying jobs. A lot of these, all the architects and engineers that are involved with it, it's going to build up an infrastructure. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's going to be a long-term thing. So you're talking about jobs that be around for a long time as they build this out. And this is another one of the reasons that New Hampshire needs to, it's because it's number one problem on its agenda is the workforce shortage. So we need to figure out, get the people who can work here. So.
Yeah, and they don't come on their own too. I mean, they come with their families. I mean, it's going to help the school system because there's going to be more butts in seats. It's
Probably
the university, Franklin Pierce, Colby Sawyer, and such is going to be more people thinking, oh, if I go get my college degree up there, there's going to be internships and such that will be available.
Exactly.
All right, so we're getting towards the end here. Okay. I'm really excited to have New Hampshire Business Review involved with us. I mean, going forward, I mean, what are some key subjects you expect we'll be able to talk about going forward? Like, what are the big things?
I'm serious. I mean, it's unfortunate. You can give me this. I could have given the list 10 years ago too. It's like it's certainly workforce, housing, affordable housing, energy, healthcare system, you know, and our aging population is those are major factors in the future of the state. And policymakers have tried, but not completely had their eye on the ball consistently on these things. So
not politicians.
No, never.
No. All right. I'm AJ Kearse, so you're listening to WKX on the Morning. Thank you so much for Jeff Feingold, editor of the New Hampshire Business Review, for joining me.
It was great talking with you, AJ.